You know what defined a cool job in the old days? I don't. I wasn't born yet. That's why it helps to read other people's books. In Joseph Heath and Andrew Potter's fantastic tome, The Rebel Cell, they mention a study from the 1950s by Vance Packard, which teased out five factors that gave a job prestige. They were importance of the task performed, the level of authority the job gives you, the know-how required in doing said job, the dignity of the tasks required, and of course, the money made from doing the work. According to Heath and Potter, the results, like my thigh rashes, were remarkably consistent. Supreme Court justices were seen as the most prestigious, but also scoring high were exactly what you'd expect if you remember any black and white movies. Bankers, executives, ministers, and professors. In those movies, they were usually played by Fred McMurray or Robert Cummings. They had great hair and no visible tattoos. You know they smelled of cigarettes, Brill Cream, and work. They were rarely involved in raising awareness. How things have changed. With the exception of professors, there's absolutely nothing still considered cool on that list. Ministers? They're the butt of jokes. Supreme Court justices? Please. The media even hates the black one. In fact, they especially hate the black one. Executives are just cogs in a machine. And as for bankers, even bankers hate bankers. My God, I'm a right-wing libertarian and I hate my bank. Yes, as H&P point out, the prestige of all these jobs is steadily waning as the new, cooler occupations are picking up the slack. It's the cool bohemian creative types that now get the chicks and get movies made about them. Cinematic action is steadily being eliminated by slight men pressing send. It really is invigorating. I'm not kidding. I was biting my nails during The Social Network, and I'm not even sure why. I mean, it was a movie about rich kids suing over who invented a social networking site. This was not Dirty Harry. Christ, it wasn't even Hello Larry. It was Goodfellas for Zeta males. I don't begrudge the founders of Facebook. Anyone who creates something that millions or billions crave is genuinely cool in my book. It is why, however, I don't think Apple is cooler than McDonald's. Both make something that is a pure popular product. A Big Mac and an iPod are pretty much the same thing, except one has a slightly metallic aftertaste. I blame the lettuce. But here's the catch. We live in a time when some products are cool while others aren't. And this cool bigotry masks a different kind of bigotry, one directed at the non-intellectual, the guy who doesn't watch girls, shop at Whole Foods, or read Dwell on the bidet. This average dude is not interested in the healing powers of crystals or windmills or solar power. He's just fine with natural gas, his own and North Dakota's. This product bigotry creates the cool job elitism. Everyone wants to work for Twitter, but no one wants to work for Exxon. Try finding a job right now at Twitter. Impossible. But they're hiring in North Dakota. Can a healthy, unemployed individual fresh out of school frack? Or is that the modern equivalent of going to work for a fascist death squad that eats kittens? Thanks to the rising cool status of certain jobs and the decline of others, people have stopped contemplating doing the dirty work. The work that keeps the lights on. Can you imagine a young college graduate announcing to his friends he is going to work for an oil company? Nope, he's joining an improv group instead. As I write this, the Labor Department reports that only 47% of Americans have a full-time job. That's because it's hard to get full-time work as a maker of artisanal tricycles. Or worse, edible artisanal tricycles. In February 2013, it was revealed that Facebook paid no income taxes for 2012. As reported by CNN, among other places, the social network was due a tax refund of almost $430 million. Now, this is a company that made $1 billion before taxes, which buys approximately 50 million hoodies for Mark Zuckerberg. But they were able to secure the refund because of a tax deduction from stock options issued to Facebook employees. I won't pretend to understand how this works. As an English major, I have no discernible skills other than spelling discernible correctly. But I know this, that because this company happened to be Facebook, the story was a one-day affair. It came and went like an ice cream headache, leaving neither a bruise nor a hickey on the Zuckerberg empire. If this company were something that actually made something in a factory or field, it would be roundly condemned by every single media hack on the planet. Case in point, we have a strident administration that rails against oil companies constantly, while taking credit for its record-breaking output, and the rich in general over their perceived failure to pay their fair share. Both entities are evil, for they make stuff people want, and because of this, they make a mountain of money. And from that mountain of money, the government takes a hefty slice, which bureaucrats then spend on extremely important stuff, like a study into why lesbians tend to be overweight. I could have answered that question. It's called pastry.